From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As part of his series in the Book of Romans, Dr. Cairns continues to deal with the theme of the revelation of the wrath of God. From verse 18 through the end of chapter 1, Paul focuses on the wrath of God against sin and sinners. It is of the utmost importance to understand the basis for God's wrath in order to see the necessity for the gracious means of reconciliation with God as revealed in the rest of Romans. The wrath of God is not some arbitrary attitude. Rather, it is a revelation of what God says about Himself. God is holy, and anything that is contrary to His holiness is the just object of His wrath and indignation. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, it is the height of folly for any man to live in a way that ignores the wrath of God. Dr. Cairns will be with us in a few minutes. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Law in the Heart. The text is Psalm 37 and verse 31. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Put the law into the heart, and the whole man is right. This is where the law should be. For then it lies, like the tables of stone in the ark, in the place appointed for it. In the head it puzzles. On the back it burdens. In the heart it upholds. What a choice word is here used, the law of his God. When we know the Lord as our own God, His law becomes liberty to us. God with us in covenant makes us eager to obey His will and walk in His commands. Is the precept my Father's precept? Then I delight in it. We are here guaranteed that obedient-hearted man shall be sustained in every step that he takes. He will do that which is right, and he shall therefore do that which is wise. Holy action is always the most prudent, though it may not at the time seem to be so. We are moving along the great high road of God's providence and grace when we keep to the way of His law. The Word of God has never misled a single soul yet. Its plain directions to walk humbly, justly, lovingly, and in the fear of the Lord are as much words of wisdom to make our way prosperous as rules of holiness to keep our garments clean. He walks surely who walks righteously.
As it comes, it's swirling shine.
is it that constitutes revival? Is it a week of special meetings held at a local church? Is it an organized effort at door-to-door evangelism? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England and Wales under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling. Or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs made out to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of The Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be greatly blessed as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
A God who has revealed His wrath from heaven. Now when you turn to the Bible, you'll discover how He has done it, where He has done it, and when He has done it. Now, I want to make this clear that God has announced wrath at every stage of His revelation to men, whether in law or grace. Here I would need to do a survey of the whole Bible, and time does not allow that. I was going to say unfortunately, but I'm sure there would be others would say, fortunately. I'll refer you to Dr. Barrett's class, Dr. Brehm's, Mr. Brehm, he hasn't got his doctorate yet, he's almost there, but to their classes in the theological hall here for that. But look all over the Bible. Start in the Garden of Eden. What did God reveal there? The covenant of works. What was the covenant of works? It was a way of life. Our confession of faith, actually, in the words of the Shorter Catechism, put it very, very clearly, that God entered into a covenant of life with our first parents. That's what the Garden of Eden was all about. That when God created man, he put him in an ideal environment, and he revealed to him the way of remaining in communion with God, and he revealed to him the way of being confirmed in communion with God unto eternal life. That's what God revealed to Adam. And then he said, of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So that with the revelation of life, there was immediately at the creation the revelation of the wrath of God. Immediately after the fall, or very soon after it, you have the story of Cain and Abel. And Cain brought of the first fruits of the ground, and he offered it unto God, and God refused it. Now this is very important to understand. When you turn over in your Bible, you'll find that there were offerings of the fruit of the ground that God accepted. Yet he wouldn't accept Cain's offering. It's not because it was of the fruit of the ground merely. It's because of what it was intended to accomplish. He brought the fruit of his own hands, the fruit of his own labor, the fruit of the ground that was cursed, as a means of reconciling his soul to God, as a means of acceptance with God. He refused and repudiated the blood of the Lamb, which Abel brought. And that's why God rejected him. Now, like most religionists, he was furious. I'm sure you've found this. Anybody who's ever gone witnessing has found this. You go to a religious person and you ask him, what is the basis of your hope for heaven? You tell me you're right with God. What's the basis of that? Very often he gets angry. Well, this man was furious with God. And God spoke to him very clearly, and he pointed him to the sin offering. He says, there is an offering for sin. If you don't take it, there's death. And there was. The mark of God upon him. From that moment, Cain was as certain of hell as if he'd been in it. What a way to live. I don't know how many hundreds of years he lived. I think it's fairly certain that he did live hundreds of years. Many hundreds of years. But he lived with the stamp of God's wrath. Turn over to chapter 6 and following in Genesis, and what do you have? The story of the ark. What was God revealing to Noah? The wrath of God. That the stench of human sin had arisen to heaven. God says every imagination of the heart of man is only evil continually. So, wrath. You look at that great flood. What was that? Wasn't a natural disaster. The flood was the wrath of God. I'll not go through all the Old Testament, Moses and the plagues of Israel in Egypt. Redemption. But outside of the redemption, the wrath. Mount Sinai and fire, the thunder, putting the fear of eternity in the hearts of all who were there. The wrath of God. Take the prophets. I say did it because I fear there are many people who don't read the Old Testament very much, which is a tragedy. You read the prophets, and they seem to be thundering all the time. Now, there are some sweet passages in the prophets, some great gospel passages. Isaiah sometimes has been called the gospel according to Isaiah, with very good reason. But nonetheless, the prophets were men who were sent to announce the wrath of God. If you turn to 2 Kings 22, verse 13, you find that Josiah summed up the entire Old Testament revelation. And he said, go, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. That's the book of the law. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all that which is written concerning us. So that's the summary of the Old Testament. What is it? It is that God announced wrath at every stage of the revelation throughout that Old Testament. He not only revealed it in that way, but he revealed it in his visitations on the ungodly. As I've said, the flood was the wrath of God. Genesis 19, Sodom burned to the ground, was the wrath of God. It's interesting, when you go to that area to this day, the archaeological experts will tell you that there is evidence of some great fiery natural disaster. But it wasn't a natural disaster at all. It was a supernatural disaster. It was the wrath of God. Turn over to the book of Exodus. You have Egypt decimated by the 10 plagues. What was that? It was the wrath of God. Last week we read a verse in Numbers chapter 11, verse 33. And it speaks of Israel in the wilderness. The wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. You follow through the wilderness, you know, in 40 years, between 2 and 4 million people died. Think of that. They were cut off. Plague upon plague, sickness upon sickness, fiery serpents, enemies slaying them. And it wasn't just, well, they've had a run of bad luck. This was the wrath of God in the wilderness. And later on, in their later apostasy, many years later in the promised land, we read in 2 Kings 22:17. Because they have forsaken me and have burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands, therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. Plagues and calamities, the wrath of God. Now, let me enter something of a little warning in here. You can't always make a direct connection between a calamity and the wrath of God, or an immediate connection between that calamity and the sin that caused it. That's what Job's friends tried to do. They looked at Job, and Job was in trouble, and they said, it's because of your sin. Well, they were wrong. It was actually because of his holiness. It was the attack of Satan. They weren't aware of that. Also in John chapter 9, they saw a man who was born blind, and the disciples jumped to the conclusion that it was because of his sin or his parents' sin. And they said, who hath sinned, this man or his parents? Jesus said, neither of them. It's not that they hadn't sinned, but he's saying neither of them has sinned in such a way as to be the immediate cause of this calamity. But having said that, the Word of God can lead us to this, and does lead us to this, that at least with hindsight, we can look back and trace through the calamities that have happened the working of the wrath of God. And as we go through this chapter 1 in the book of Romans, we will come to some very up-to-date problems. We will deal later on, for example, with the visitation of the wrath of God in the bodies of people who live immorally. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but America, with the rest of the Western world, is under the plague of venereal disease. Not just AIDS. That's one aspect of the problem. But this is a country that is plagued, and the word plague is not putting it at too high a level, with venereal disease. And that's not simply, it's not simply some sort of a physical cause and effect. It is that. But it is that because of the determination of God. God has, according to Romans chapter 1, visited idolatry by allowing it to slide into immorality. And he has visited upon immorality certain judgments in the flesh. Now, this is a very serious passage. It goes way beyond what I have said already. I'm simply at this moment establishing that it is through the wrath of the Lord that the land is darkened, Isaiah says. Amos says, shall there be evil or calamity in the city? And the Lord hath not done it. In the last book of the Bible, in Revelation 15:1, John says, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. Do you see the significance of that? The seven last plagues complete the wrath of God, but it's saying that there have been many plagues before them that have commenced and continued the outpouring of the wrath of God. These texts remind us, by the way, that to relegate the wrath of God to some future day of judgment is totally unscriptural. Oh, there is a coming day of judgment. There is. You can't get away from that. Anybody who lives his life today and doesn't take cognizance of the fact, I'm going to stand before a holy God. Jesus Christ is going to be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Any man that lives his life without taking cognizance of that fact is living the life of a fool. David lamented, died Abner as a fool dieth. And he did. Yes, he died as a fool. Why did he die as a fool? Because he knew, he had every evidence that he was in the presence of a killer, and he ignored it. Are there not fools dying all around us, and they are going out into eternity having given no thought to meeting God and no thought of the future day of judgment? There is such a day. But remember this, while that future day of judgment will be the full expression of the wrath of God and the final expression of the wrath of God, yet God is already at the work of judgment. God has been judging all along through the ages of history, and he's doing it now.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.